Hi, we are the ASM Behind the Scenes podcast. My name is Jin Yao.
I'm Ximena.
And I'm Sergio. We're three seniors at ASM.
In this podcast, we will explore the lives of upper school staff members and alumni with the hopes of bringing you fun stories about high school, college, and life in general.
We'll be releasing an episode every week on Fridays.
If you have any cool ideas for future episodes, feel free to email s23142@asmadrid.es. But before further ado, let's get into it.
What's up, guys? Today we have Ms. Melnick, who is an upper school English teacher here at ASM. Thank you so much for coming today. First of all, could you explain a little what you do?
Sure. I'm an upper school English teacher, so like we read books and poetry and plays, and like we think about what they might mean and how they're communicating their messages. Yeah, nice. It's English class.
Okay. Well, going back to the first questions that we're gonna ask. What would you say is like your most memorable or best high school or college memory?
I don't know. I really enjoyed my senior year. I had a really close friend, and like we just did everything together. And we're not friends anymore or anything. There was a falling out, but like that year was just really, really fantastic. Just kind of, you know, having more freedom in the school, and we read some really good books that year. Like that was the year we read like romantic poetry, which is like the best, my favorite. So I enjoyed reading that and like just hanging out with my friend and chilling.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Do you have any memories? Is that from college?
Oh, it's from high school. Okay. Oh, college, like tons of memories. Like,
yeah.
You know, I did a study abroad in Ireland and got to do some like volunteer work associated like with an author I really love who's like has a really strong like cultural presence in the city. So I got to do like almost like cultural interpretation, like museum work and book club kind of stuff. It was really fun.
And so in college, did you major in literature?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I studied English and I also studied German studies. My German is terrible now because I haven't used it like since I graduated, basically. But yeah, that's what I studied.
And how did you get into education?
I had always kind of thought I wanted to be a teacher, like even when I was in high school, because I'm a big nerd and I love reading and I love like talking about books. Mm-hmm. And after I graduated with my master's in English, I asked my mom to send me to an IB training like as a graduation gift. And it was there that I met someone who would later become my colleague. They had a last minute cancellation at their school, and so I got a call, and then about 2 weeks later I moved to Texas from Georgia, and then I became a teacher. And Texas allows you to get licensed like as you do your first year of teaching because teacher shortage. So that's how I became a teacher.
Cool. Wow.
And that was your first job right after college, right? Being a teacher?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, after master's.
Yeah, after I got my master's. But I've done other... Actually, at the same time I was teaching that first year, I also worked in a beer store. So, like, it was one of those stores where you can get those, like, they call them growlers in the States, like big old jugs, and, like, you fill it on tap, you bring them to parties and stuff like that. I worked in a beer store while I was teaching in my first year.
A lot of people always work in, like, two jobs, yeah, and it's always like an interesting thing to see where people worked before, like even celebrities, like they worked at like bakeries and stuff. Mm-hmm. You mentioned you did a study abroad.
Mm-hmm.
So how, I mean, maybe some people when they're in college they want to do a study abroad. How would you say it was like the process of like applying to the study abroad? Is it the same as applying to college, or was it harder?
It can be. Usually once you're in a university, the university will typically have fairly well-established study abroad programs. So it's not quite like you're applying to go to that university as you would like as a first year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did have to apply. I did have to get accepted. But because there are these connections, it's a fairly easy process. I did two summer programs in Vienna for my German studies major, and I did a year in Ireland for my English studies.
And how was that experience?
Which one and which part?
Both. And like how? Oh well, yeah, you spoke how
about
did
the
it,
one in Ireland.
Yeah. How did it help you with your studies?
Or like, I mean, with your career? Did
yeah.
it, like.
I mean, I mean, my favorite author is James Joyce. And, like, he, even though he lived in Dublin for only a small part of his life, like, he wrote about it all the time. Yeah. And I realized after I got there, like, even my favorite books, like, I mean, I loved Portrait of the Artist as a young man at that time. Now I think it's like, oh, cringe. Mm-hmm. Stephen is, like, kind of a terrible character. But I realized, like, I didn't quite understand, like, the speech patterns and, like, the rhythm of the language that was in the book until I actually heard how Irish people speak and, like, talk to each other. Because, like, there is kind of, like, an unspoken, like, communicative culture. And it really helped me kind of understand that much better. And just being in the city where his most famous works are set just kind of illuminated that for me.
And out of all those places you traveled to, which one would you say was the most memorable one?
Well, as part of one of the summer study abroads in Vienna, our group decided to go to a place called Hallstatt, which is like kind of like a really picturesque, like sea, like lakeside mountain sort of town, like kind of on the western side, like it's nearish to like Salzburg. But it's like a ski town, but it was summertime, so it was empty, and like we stayed in this like this B&B place, and it was run by like this guy who looked like Santa Claus, and it was like haunted. We got really scared one night. Like it was really fun. So it, like traveling around Austria was really great. Yeah. Ireland is also really great. Like they're both really beautiful countries.
Mm-hmm. Kind of connecting back to like your school kind of career. You talked about how you did the IB. Well, I have two questions, but first of all, as you teach IB students, how does it feel? How does it feel to see them in the same position that you were in, and how does that like motivate you to help? Like, do you feel like a sort of connection to them? Yeah. And it helps you.
I mean, of course. Like, I understand that the position that IB students are in. I understand like the range of assessments that are asked of you. I understand like the range of skills that are demanded and just the sheer workload. You know, I understand that whether or not students want to listen to that experience and what I might have to say is a different story. But I do think having that experience is helpful because, you know, I remember what I wrote about for several of my exams. And, like, I remember writing my extended essay and, like, having it done before everyone else and, like, getting to just chill while they were stressing. It was great. So I do think it's very helpful. And, of course, there are other things that can help someone be a really good IB teacher, you know, a lot of years of experience, being an examiner, all of those things. But being an IB student, like, it just kind of gives a different perspective.
And during high school or college, what extra, what other activities did you do outside of school? Any, like, sports or clubs or?
Yeah, so I did volleyball in high school, and I was on a travel team for 2 years, but I couldn't continue while I was doing IB. I decided, I'm really short. Like, I'm 5'2". I'm not going to, like, I'm not going to get any scholarships based off of this. So I still played it with my school, but I didn't do the travel team. And I also actually started doing, that's how I actually got into lifting weights. My brother was a wrestler. He's 2 years younger than me, and my mom said that she would pay my car insurance if I drove him to morning workouts, like 6 a.m. So I did, and then I was like, oh, I'm here anyway, so I might as well just like lift weights with the wrestling team. And then in college, I did that kind of on and off. I went through like a cardio phase, like never again. I did capoeira, which is like Brazilian dance fighting.
Cool.
Yeah, that's it was fun. That's like all the active stuff, but I've always done kind of like creative stuff. Like I did some creative writing for classes and for fun. I got published in my university's little journal. I like art a lot, you know, like knitting. My mom made me that, but like I could. It's a scarf.
You could make it,
because it's a podcast. It's a scarf pointing to a scarf, but like I could have made that, but like my mom made me that one.
That's cute.
I like just doing like artsy, craftsy.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's interesting. Okay, let's move on to the surprise question.
Okay.
It's which very for funny. Some of you, it's also a surprise.
I know it might not seem like it, but I actually have a sense of humor. Like, I appreciate humor a lot.
Okay.
And I am funny.
Okay, so why do you think it might be useful for an English student to read the Twilight series?
Oh, okay. Okay, well, actually, some context. I myself have not read the Twilight series.
Oh, okay.
And I only just saw the movies this past summer. Like,
I haven't seen them, but...
Oh, they are
intense. Yeah.
They are wonderful and tragic. I do want to talk about the movies for a second. But for reading the books, I haven't read the books myself, so I don't know. But first and foremostly, if that's what they want to read and they enjoy it, that's the most important thing. And, like, mm-hmm. the value of reading is that you enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So if that's what they like, that's what they like.
Yeah.
Why else might it be valuable? I mean, you know, I'm just going to actually leave it at that since I haven't read the book.
Yeah.
What I will say about the movie is, like, the one scene that is, like, actually iconic is, like, it's, like, vampire baseball. Like, they have to play baseball during thunderstorms because they're so strong and, like, so fast that, like, the way that the bat hits the ball, like, they have to cover it with the sound of lightning and thunder cracks, and, like, the way... It's, like, actually the best part of, like, that entire film series, like, and I wish that there were more of it, because it was so fun, and it's, like, that's what the whole series should have been, but otherwise it was just, like, tragic love triangles when it shouldn't have even been a question, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times it's, like, even though a book might be, like, bad, it still can, like, teach you a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't... I mean, I feel like there doesn't have to be, like, super a bunch of literary techniques.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like you said, it's, like, it has... If it sparks your love for reading, and then it motivates you to read other books, like, more advanced, like Macbeth, I don't know.
I used to read... Okay, so some of my really formative books when I was, like, really young, Captain Underpants. Like, I love comics, and, like, those had pictures, and, like, I also, like... I love kind of bathroom humor, and so it was really great.
Yeah.
And then I also read, like, the Confessions of a Shopaholic series, like, so many times that the cover fell off.
Oh my God.
I am not unfamiliar to, like,
the
trash
type
reading. I will say, like, I've heard that the Twilight books in particular have some kind of questionable values about, like, I don't know, like, women's purity and things like that, which, you know, if people espouse those values, that's fine. But I do hope that, like, younger people reading them wouldn't read that and think, like, that's the only way
it should be.
So I do hope that even if it is something that people enjoy reading, that they can still take a somewhat critical and thoughtful eye to it.
Yeah,
like, for me, in middle school, I never liked reading until I read the Maze Runner, as I can see you have there.
It's on my desk. Yeah. It's a podcast.
And then I started reading more and more. So.
That's good. Yeah. Sometimes you just gotta... There's honestly so many books. Like, there are so many books.
Yeah.
There's got to be something
you just
that
gotta
you
find
like.
The right one.
Would you say that Captain Underpants was your awakening for reading?
Yes, and I was really lucky at the book fair at my school in Taiwan. I found essentially what is the Australian counterpart, or what I'm considering it. It's called The Day My Butt Went Psycho. And, like, on the surface, it actually, like, it sounds really stupid. It's, like, about a boy, you know, he's in probably, you know, fourth or fifth grade. Like, his butt just decides to, like, rebel against him. And, like, he has, like, a butt army. Exactly.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, like, it's so silly. It's so ridiculous. But on the other hand, it's actually, like, a pretty good metaphor for, like, what puberty is like. It's like feeling like your body is, like, outside of your control, and, like, it's just doing all these things that you have no control over and are just, like, so embarrassing. And it's like, so on the one hand, like, books that seem superficial, silly, or stupid at first might actually be a little more thoughtful than you might think.
Mm-hmm. And they do have some underlying themes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so now moving back to the actual podcast.
Okay. That's a good
answer. We usually ask the teachers, like, what do you think is different from high school students then and high school students now, like, if you notice a difference. But I think that for you, since you studied IB, I think it would be interesting to ask that.
Mm-hmm.
And then additionally, also, like, how do you think the IB has changed? Do you think, has the IB changed?
I mean, somewhat. I mean, fundamentally, it's still structured the same way. There's still, you know, there's 6 courses and the core. When I did IB, there was no language and literature, and there was also no language ab initio. So you had to take language B. I took language B HL as a non-native French speaker. I got a 4. I passed. I passed. You know what? Considering it's language BHL, non-native speaker, it's not, and it's not like there was a like a major Francophone community like in Atlanta or anything. Like, did okay. Has it changed beyond that? I mean, of course, the assessment components have changed. I miss the old English IOC dearly, and I think about it often. I remember mine.
What's the English IOC? Is it the
IOC? It's like the oral, except like it was like a game show. Like you had like a little, you had like envelopes filled with extracts, and you opened it. You had 20 minutes to like prepare a 10-minute commentary.
Oh my God.
And it's scary. It's stressful. It honestly probably was one of the tougher assessments.
Yeah.
But it was actually really good exam prep because the way you have to approach
the
20 minutes. That's
like the language B.
Yeah, the language B orals now.
Yeah, it's pretty similar. Oh. And as to whether, like, I think you asked, like, are students kind of the same? Yeah. And honestly, the biggest way that I see it, I remember thinking about this. With regard to my classmates, is like they would spend a lot of time like trying to find like shortcuts to their homework. It's just like, oh, like if I do like this, it'll be just like it's like I'm cheating. Like it's fine. It's like, well, you know what? The amount of time that you just spent trying to think around how to just do your homework, you could have just done your homework and have been done with it. And like I still see students like doing that. And it's just like, I think it's just a developmental thing, like a brain thing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm 100% right. And like, this is definitely going to be easier, even though everyone's telling you, like,
just do it.
It's not. Just like, just do it.
Yeah. So before, when you were answering the surprise question, you mentioned Taiwan.
Uh-huh.
Did you teach there?
Yeah, I moved here from Taiwan. Oh. I taught in Kaohsiung, which is in the south.
Oh, yeah, and why did you move here, by the way?
Why did I move here? Well, firstly, I was not happy with my role in my last school. I was an IB core coordinator, which means I was in charge of TOKX and SAKS.
Mm-hmm.
In theory, it's a good idea. In practice, it meant that I was in charge of everything that IB students tend to not understand and hate.
Yeah.
So, and it just made me feel like my job was like just chasing kids down and just like hounding them to have hobbies and interests, which is like... it's not a good feeling. So I moved partially because I was not happy for because of my job, but you can choose to include this part or not. But I also moved because my partner lives here, and we met online during COVID, and because of Taiwan's travel restrictions, you couldn't go in unless you were a citizen or a permanent resident. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't meet in person until this past summer.
Oh, wow.
So,
oh, wow.
Like, I moved for love. Aww. It's working out. It's working out.
Yay. Okay. So, now we'll move on to the last question. What advice do you think you would give high school students now on their, like, maybe college or just academics or just in general in life?
Am I allowed to say bad words? Like... No, maybe not. Maybe
no.
Not.
Okay, so I was going to say yes.
Yeah. Not me too.
No.
Okay.
It needs to be approved by Mr. Dempsey.
Well, yeah, if it's like poop, it's fine.
I'll say poop. Okay, you know what? That's what I'll say. That's what I'll say. Okay, so the one thing, that it actually kind of goes back to another question that you had asked, which is like, what's changed a lot? I do think that the whole university admissions game has changed drastically since I was in school. It was starting to become kind of the way it is now, like when I was graduating, but it wasn't nearly what it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I understand that, you know, the game has changed and all of that, and there's so much more pressure and intensity, but honestly, chill out. Like, breathe. Like, most undergraduate educations will be the same no matter where you go.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you are pursuing things that you like, as long as you're coming from a place of like intrinsic motivation, you actually make an effort to make your education yours. Mm-hmm. That's probably the most important thing. It's like everyone is going to come at you from all sides, like telling you you should do this and do that and go here and go there. But like, it's your life.
Yeah.
And you don't have you don't have time for other people's poo. So, like, just do you, yeah. Like, cultivate your interests, spend time on who you are, because long after you graduate from high school or for college, you have to live with yourself. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Spend time on you.
Okay.
Do CAS. That's what CAS is.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. I love that.
Thank you.
All right. Good. Thank you.